Okay, so I will discuss about the Sami. The Sami that you might call, you might have heard another way of calling them, the Lapps, reindeer herders from the north of Scandinavia. I have to know what I show. So I'm working in the north of Norway and Sweden, but the Sami are living in four countries, Norway, Sweden, Russia, Finland, upper the Arctic circle. I have to vaguely look, yeah, so I see. Okay. So as I told you, they are reindeer herders, and as you know, the Arctic area are especially touched by climate change, and that's really proved by scientific studies. So there is no doubt about the fact that the Arctic has already begun to change and is going to continue to change. And what I'm going to try and discuss is what do the Samis think and know about these changes. Well, my first very fast remark is that for me as an anthropologist, I wouldn't distinguish beliefs and representations, as I tend to think that beliefs are just something that you accuse people, others, to have, while you think that as a scientist, maybe you don't even have representations, or you have representations, but in no way you have beliefs. So it's a representations is that is just the way you think and you believe in a way. For me as an anthropologist, I wouldn't make a distinction about that, and I would rather think about worldview. Well, I began to interview about climate change a few years ago in the north of Sweden with the Sami. And the first reaction I was very surprised was that they didn't like so much to discuss that subject. I thought they were kind of reluctant. So it took me as often before to begin research, interviewing, you have to do research about the reaction of people to understand how they react. And it takes you some time before to understand why and how they react. And sometimes they were reluctant to discuss a subject, and sometimes they were discussing at a TV level. As Anna Maria said, of course, they had seen a TV show the day before, and they knew very well what climate change was because of the TV show. They knew that for themselves it was much more complex. So if I was using the wording climate change, some people immediately would say, yes, 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 I've seen a TV show yesterday about Sahel, and instead of speaking about themselves. Why? This picture is a picture of a reindeer digging the snow, which is the case during 9 months in Sápmi, the territory of the Sami. And it's a very important factor for understanding how do the Sami perceive changes through the reindeers, because they don't understand it so much generally speaking, but through the influence of an animal. So it is by observing an animal that you understand changes into the environment. So the first reason I understood after a while is that they feel kind of insulted that we are questioning their capacity of resilience and adaptation, because they think that if we ask about climate change and adaptation, it is that we have not understood who they are. As they think themselves, they are specialists of climate changes. And they think that in a climate like the Arctic one, where you don't know what tomorrow will be, You don't know how the winter will be. You don't know if there will be much snow, not much snow, wind which will change everything or not. So you have all the time to adapt yourself. That's also one of the reasons why when we ask any question to the Sami in a simple way, they tend to answer, I don't know. Like you ask, are you going tomorrow to go to the reindeer herd and to do that and that? And they say, I don't know. So if you know them, you understand that I don't know is the situation is complex and I can't explain it in a few words. And I have to see the situation and how it changed tonight before to tell you what I will do. But if they think that the person in front of them doesn't know enough so that they would explain them complexity, the only thing they can say is, I don't know. Which doesn't mean that they don't know, but it means that they don't think you are going to understand what they know. So one of the reasons also is that suddenly we all come to the Arctic countries and ask them about climate change. So they don't, as all the indigenous people, they are not necessarily happy about the last academic fashion because they think they are going to discuss that for 1 or 2 or 5 years and then it will be, what was the last one? What will be the next question? And so they are kind also of cautious about our interests. Another reason, which is more complex, is that they know how the climate change every day, and they observe it, and they have indicators very precise to understand different elements. But they know enough to understand that climate change is something different. Like, you know, you have to be a climatologist to know what the evolution will be. And they know they are, in a way, I would say, too scientific to tell you something very lightly. They know what they know, and they know what they can't say. And they refuse, in a way, in a very scientific way, to make assumptions if they don't think they have can give you proofs, because they are very materialistic. They know and can explain a lot of things, and they know how the situation in their country is complex, but they don't like to make fast assumptions, even if it's a fashionable subject. And the last reason, and we will try and understand a little while I speak, is that it is very complex. I will enter in Sami knowledge now to tell you just a little glimpse of what we know that the Sami know. So the first level is to go to Sami language. Sami language has hundreds of words for snow, climate, ice, and all these subjects. Because the real important question during the months where there is snow in winter is, how do precipitations, rain, snow, ice, are going to transform themselves? So the Sami have a real science which touches chemistry, physics, and a lot of meteorology, and a lot of dimensions. Because what you see today as snow, tomorrow can become ice. And it's very important for them, as you see in that picture, because they depend on the reindeers who look for their food themselves. And the reindeer depend on the accessibility of the lichen, which is the lichen is under the snow. So the question is not, will there be snow or rain or ice, and how is the temperature? It is, and the wind. It is how all these factors together are going to influence the transformation of the snow, for example, in ice. One danger that they know for centuries, and that happens today more and more often because of more and more extreme situations, is that when you have snow and suddenly there is a warming, it can be rain, it can be just that the temperature is goes up, then the snow melts, okay? But after that, it's cold again. So when it's cold again, the snow which melts or the rain is going to transform itself in a coat of ice. So the question for Sami is the coat of ice at the top of snow is going to be thick, hard, and how big is going to be this coat? Because if it and how is it going to be just patches at some places, or is it going to be the whole territory? Because if it's patches, as all all nomad peoples, they can move to another place where there will not be icing on the top of snow. But if it's covered everywhere, then it's a catastrophic year, and they can't do much, except in modern days, feeding the reindeers, which costs a lot and causes new problems. So the real situation, I put a few words. The first word is Gwartun. And Gwartun has often been translated in the Scandinavian languages by beite, which means pasture. But it doesn't mean pasture. It doesn't mean a state, a fixed state, because there is not such a thing as fixed state in these places. It means the evaluation that I will do tomorrow about the state of the pasture and the accessibility of lichen to my reindeers. So it means, good Gwartun means it's today the situation is good and they can dig and it's okay and I have no problem. Bad Gwartun means it might have been excellent yesterday and there might be a lot of things to eat for the reindeer, like lichen, but they can't access today because there is a coat of icing. So it's a permanent evaluation through a science of snow and ice that the Sami do. And they do it with a stick, and they really study the coats from the ground to the top. Not only do they study how they are they thick, are they hard, but they study their perpetual change. They can tell you, for example, you see here on the ground, it was a little icy because when the first snow happened, the ground was too warm, and then it transformed into a little slice of ice immediately on the ground. But because after we had relatively good weather, it melted, and now this coat is changing in a better coat for us, which means less granulated snow that the reindeer can access. So they really not only do study these coats permanently, but they study the history through the whole winter. Oh, I forgot about the other terms, excuse me. Opas, I will briefly. Opas means like barren snow. But for us, we just see barren snow. For the Sami, it's also the history. Because tiga, it's when the herd have been trampling the snow, and then the craters are hard, and they can't eat anymore. So you have to move your herd. But if you know that there are tiga, and it's not good anymore, it's not good Gwartun. Tomorrow, if there is a coat of snow, it's not going to be any better because the reindeer can't access to their food. But you, Western people, what are you going to see? Just a virgin field of snow. You think it's opas, but it's not for the Sami. So in these terms, there is always the history and the of the environment. Djurke, Budnevnitsia, Nas, we can't go. That's one of the studies we did with one of my former doctoral students. And we are doing the evolution of the land use. As you mentioned in your program, land use is very important. And we study this winter and ask the people, where do you put your reindeer? Where did you move every month, etc.? And then we do 5 years retrospective. What we wanted to prove at that time is it was very important for the Sami because they had to draw their territory, their land use. And the state was asking them something very, which seems very simple, like draw your main good pastures. And from experience and from knowledge, I knew that was very risky because, as the Sami say, a year is not the brother of next year. It's never the same. So there is not such something as normal. And by doing that, as it was supposed to be for planning, when a mine or something else will come, they will tell them, you draw, that's the good pastures, and now this year you're not there. So we draw 5 years, and we saw that out of 5 years, only two could be considered as normal, and three were bad. So if the Sami had been drawing the good place, they would have, I mean, in a way, not have any kind of defense, because it's really when it's not normal that you have to go at one place. It's not when it's good conditions, you don't worry too much. So that was one of the research we did. And it's a quote from a Sami herder who explains the problem. And explains a little what I said at the beginning, is that it's impossible to speak about climate change without speaking about change in general. Because the situation today in the Arctic is that there are dams, hydroelectric power, which take some territory. There are roads, there are train lines, there are cities, and there are in Norway, gas extraction and oil extraction and a lot of mining on their territory. Like I was studying in my 20s, I was studying in this place in Kautokeino in Norway. And the same group where I studied in the 70s, today on the winter territory for one group, they have 5 development projects on the same little summer area. So when we ask, how are you going to adapt to climate change? They look at us a little like, is that a joke? When I don't know if tomorrow I will still have a territory because mining is taking apart, a dam is taking another one, roads are taking another one. So as the answer, we have always been adapting. We are specialists of changing climate, but we can only adapt if we have still the capacity to move and a territory where we can move. So the question for us is not so much adaptation to climate change, but adaptation to global changes, all the changes that go on together on our land use. In Sweden, the problem is industrial forestry. It's the winter territories of the Sami are also exploited by forestry. So for the seen from an environmental point of view, we say that Swedish forestry is very modern because they go the forest is renewable. But seen from the Sami point of view, who are supposed to be on the same territory, it's not the same. So to go fast, global change, it's in Norway and Sweden mining, in Norway and Sweden dams, as I told you, tourist housing, industrial forestry, and all of that, it's really going on. There is really a rush towards the north today for exploitation of resources. Like we had go west, today it's really go north. And on these territories. You have industrial developments from all the world. It's really a global problem. At a point, I didn't really understand why there was suddenly so much mining projects, and I had to understand that the price of gold and copper and other metals had changed. So when it increases, immediately you have international companies mining. And there is also the fact that to modernize the Sami, the government think that they have to apply regulations, and regulations are usually, as they are in every country, no country likes nomadism. It's be there at such a point, at such a time. And all the adaptation of the Sami in their winter territories is absolutely the contrary. It's be where you can be tomorrow. So if you are told that you should be at that date here and you should move precisely, etc., it depends on the season this year. So it might cause a lot of problems, and it does cause problems.